going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We continue. Mike Schoaf and the Bulldog. Max Hairston scheduled to speak down at the stadium at some point here soon. We'll get you that when it starts, right? That's the best we can do.
That's all we can do. It's everything we can do.
Uneventful doesn't have to mean bad. I mean, there was no trade. Trades are exciting, up or down. They're controversial. We don't have that. Position of need, for what that's worth, had that. I would put it, I did put it number one on the list. Mm-hmm. You could have put it at like two, but no lower, I would think. Like Sal's been saying, there's no position on the field that the Bills really just didn't have a starter other than corner. So that is, you would think, taken care of, hopefully taken care of by this pick. And, you know, in terms of back to trades, I don't know how close they might have even gotten to that because the defensive tackles we talked about every day went way earlier. And they could have traded down probably, they said as much, mm-hmm. but who knows why they didn't? I always thought to bet against it because they did it last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe that wasn't a reason, maybe it was. But the fact that there were three other cornerbacks in the same consensus-wise area on the board, you know, most mock drafts, mm-hmm. makes you wonder if Hairston was just like that much better for them than the others?
Two of those three have injury concerns. And I'd say maybe more so with Johnson than with Revelle. Like Revelle is coming off of an ACL he hurt in September, and I think he'd be ready to go. And, you know, guys come back from ACLs, you know, with regularity, especially when they're before they even get to the NFL, and I'd say that it couldn't take a year for him to get all the way back like it did with Trey White before he then sadly tore his Achilles shortly after returning. But Will Johnson, the fact that he was the top corner, I think almost universally after Travis Hunter, and he was falling, I think tells you. It doesn't tell you all you need to know, but I'm respecting that fall. I'm respecting that teams were scared off by it. And I said a few times yesterday, I'm not positive the Bills have never under McDermott and Bean taken a guy that was coming off of a season-ending injury in college. I just can't think of an example where they have. I mean, the organization has done it. I referenced Shaq Lawson with Rex Ryan and Doug Whaley, Willis McGahee, quite famously by Tom Donahoe. So the organization's done it, but this hierarchy, I don't recall them doing it. So to say that they couldn't, you know, at some point, you know, the price and the value might begin to outweigh whatever those concerns are. I'm just going to go ahead and assume that 30 was not where that was. So I don't know if they maybe Revelle and Johnson. I like the Revelle idea. I thought his story would really appeal to the Bills. But and the player, his size, like he read on paper like a guy that I could see them really liking, but maybe the knee injury was just enough to like that's you know he's not in the same you know class to them as well. Whereas we lump all these guys together, I'll bet they had those guys in a separate pile maybe. So that leaves you with one guy,
right.
Amos,
right.
Instead, you know, if you're ruling out the other two, and I don't know that they were, but it would. Yeah, I might suspect that they had.
Well, I'm also sort of casually talking about that trade down idea without knowing who what the pick is. Like, from 30 to what? I mean, Cleveland at the top pick of the draft, that's nice to have. So maybe there was nothing there. Why would they be trading up? Unless that would have been for a quarterback, and maybe they were not inclined to do that. Houston has 34, and they just acquired that pick from the Giants. Why would they be looking to trade it, right? So you don't know. It just was kind of easy to say there'd be a quarterback team there. It hadn't happened in years. I'm guilty of this, thinking like, oh, well, that it just makes common sense. You'd have early second-round teams who are bad moving to the way the Ravens did for Jackson, moving into the first round, fifth-year option, all the things that get said. But the last 4 years, it didn't happen at all. And that is partly or largely a function of who the quarterbacks are.
They were so good that they all went.
Last year, they all went in the top 12.
Nobody got near the bottom for anybody to want to do that.
Right, there was nobody left.
Yeah. So, yeah, that makes it really, you know, a non-starter. There's no one to come and get. And as it turns out, I think, you know, really, because if Schefter is correct in what he's saying today, like, the Giants won the race. Like, I also didn't think they would have to go as high as they came back in to get Dart. But maybe they felt like they needed to beat Cleveland to the punch. Because I think Schefter has said, like, Cleveland preferred Dart as well. And so that doesn't mean they won't draft Sanders. They might have had a preference, but now, you know, they can't get their hands on the guy that they preferred. So now what do you do? You know, if I'm them, if they don't like Milroe and they didn't like Sanders enough to want to do anything about it yesterday, with the extra stuff they have, I would probably be inclined to just punt it. They're going to be armed and ready to do business next year. We'll see how high those picks end up being, both their own and Jacksonville's, but that's a pretty nice spot to be. They might be like the Bills were in 2017 when, you know, I was in love with the Patrick Mahomes idea. The Bills traded out of that, let Kansas City take them, and they got Trey White, and it turned out well enough, I guess.
I know.
Right?
There's no way to even address that.
Right, well enough? What does that mean?
What does that mean?
The guy beats you every time it really matters. So I don't know.
It's a certain form of torture.
It's maybe not well enough, actually. But anyway, if I'm the Browns, I'd wait. Unless they really dig Milroe. Because the Shug idea does not, I mean, maybe that's worth taking a flyer on, and if it doesn't work, you can pivot quickly, because he's already 26 by the time the season begins, and, you know, you might feel like, all right, fine, well, we tried, and let's just punt that, and we'll do this again next year, but I don't know, man. I would wait if I were them, unless they really like Milroe, because that was always my favorite idea for anybody, even Tennessee. Recognizing that Ward was the unquestioned number one in this draft. But
if
I have a flag to plant, it's that Milroe's going to be the best quarterback out of this class.
Not I guess. He was the easily unquestioned number one quarterback in the end. Should he have been the number one pick? I think that still can be debated because of what Hunter is, and even Carter maybe. We just kind of settled for Tennessee needs one. They have first crack. He's the best. And enough people like him.
Mm-hmm.
But plenty of people said last year he would have been QB7. And that doesn't sound great. That sounds like you're more desperate than excited about the player. So we'll see what happens. I'll draft a little bit of Cam Ward. So now you know that. You don't have to ask me.
All right.
Last night for fantasy was mixed. We're waiting on Max Hairston to speak down at the stadium. The one that was really tough to comprehend was Ibuka to Tampa. They're sort of like, you know, the Bills, I don't want to say the Bills are the poor man's Buccaneers. Like, what have the Buccaneers won? But Evans, Godwin, young McMillan, who was pretty good as a rookie, got in the end zone a lot, and now they put in Ibuka to that group. I mean, that's insane. If he's good at all, he's supposed to be good. He's supposed to be like the safe, really good receiver in that first round group, whereas Golden, maybe the speed is a lie. And McMillan, there were questions about him in certain ways.
I wonder,
he did well.
I wonder if, yeah, he did. I wonder if Ibuka is, to some extent, Godwin insurance. There was a tough injury last year. So he is older, and so is Evans, for that matter. So it's, there's a crowd there, but, not that you want to draft a first-round guy to have him, especially a receiver, to have him, sit on the side. But soon enough, it feels to me like, they'll have a really good place for him. If they won't already have a really good place for him. So,
that's right. Evans may be 1 year away.
And style-wise, I feel like he's a very good plug-and-play Godwin replacement, like Buka.
Yeah.
Like, he almost reads a little bit on paper like how you might describe Godwin. He's not the fastest, he's not the biggest, but he's efficient, he gets open, and he, catches everything you throw him, and that's kind of how, people are describing Ibuka. This phrasing was used a lot on TV last night, just professional receiver. You can count, it's going to be solid, and, maybe that's enough.
I don't hate it. It's complicated for fantasy. I don't hate it for the Bucks. Like, what you're saying is correct. You would think he would play, but how much? Right, we're not going to know. There was no pick last night that I hated. I'm sure if I went back over the years and were able to remember picks I hated, not a lot of them necessarily ended up badly. I hated the Jahmyr Gibbs pick 2 years ago. What are the Lions doing?
And they drafted a middle linebacker like four picks later that same year.
Yes.
Running back and middle linebacker in the top half of the first round. Whoa!
And then you go to the so-called war rooms, and they're all the same. It reminded me last night of the hockey post-goal celebration lineup. Like, everybody gets up, the bro hug. Some are more, energetic than others. Some teams a little bit more casual, but they all kind of look the same. They all just celebrate. They got their guy, that's what you do. And the Lions that year, Holmes, he was nuts. And we all thought he was crazy by drafting Gibbs like that.
Seems like it turned out okay for them.
Well, yes. Right. Gibbs is very good. The team has been very good.
And Campbell's been good.
Okay.
So, it all worked, but it just did not seem like a great use of assets at the time, I think, a lot of observers.
Was there a pick you came close to hating? I mean, really, it was kind of by the book. I was excited about Loveland going over Tyler Warren because I was, predicting that at a mythical 5-1 that I never got, in on. So, yay. It's hard to hate the Genty pick.
I would never want my team to draft a running back that high, but, it was pretty obvious that was going to happen. Somebody was going to do that within the top 10, it seemed, without any question. I don't know what his over-under was as far as it, but I would be surprised if it was
right there.
Was below 10.
It was right there.
Yeah. So
six. The Raiders were the team.
Yeah. So, but okay, fine. So I guess I'm close to hating that, but it's, whatever. I'm not mad about it, really. I just don't think – I wouldn't want my team to do it. I guess is where I would end up. And yeah, I don't know. There wasn't anybody else that I, hated. I wanted some guy. I wanted Matthew Golden to get closer than he did, just because I thought that could have been interesting. I kind of hated that Emin Worry didn't get picked. I mean, it was my draft crush, and here we are. We're going into round two, and he's not there. He's there for round two. I mean, he wasn't picked. Yeah, there wasn't anything that really stood out to me. Just guys I wished had gotten closer. Like Kenneth Grant going off the board, I winced when 13. That happened. I was like, that's okay. Well, so much for that, I guess.
Yeah, that's. I'll say again, the defensive tackles going so early took that really right off the table. Whether it's a trade up or not. I mean, they really just did not have any chance at that, which I wonder if that surprised them. I mean, there were mock drafts that put those guys that high, and there were many that didn't. And that's what led us to talk about it as viable, is enough people think he could make it to you, or to make it to the mid-20s, and then you make a move. But that was just off the table. Like, they were gone. Once Pittsburgh took their guy, Harmon, that was kind of it.
Yep.
I mean, really, Tylik Williams, if the Bills had liked him enough to move up, maybe they would have tried to do that. We don't know. This is the player from Ohio State that has said today that the Bills told him they would take him at 30. Could they have, the Bills have dealt with Baltimore before.
They could have, yeah. My guess would be that when it got to there, like that point, and William, like before, so again, before the Lions take him, right? Williams is there, Amos is there, the player the Bills ultimately select is there, Hairston, and they probably felt like, well, we're going to get one. This is assuming they liked, well, we know they liked Hairston, they picked him. We suspect they liked Williams because he says that they told him they would pick him if he made it to 30. And Amos, it would blow my mind if they didn't at least like Amos. So sitting at 30, I wouldn't be surprised. They went like, hey, one of these three guys, this is all pretty comparable to us, and we're fine here. Like, if the corners go 28 and 29, we take the lineman. If the lineman goes and one of the corners goes, we take the other one. As it turns out, only the lineman went.
Looking at that draft tech chart we used throughout, the Chiefs-Eagles trade, moving up from 32 to 31 and giving up pick 164 to do that. I think that's the number, 164. Huge win for the team trading down. Huge, by huge, I mean like 15 points. It only is worth 10 points to go 31 instead of 32. That's a curious trade, right?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I guess you're Philadelphia, you actually covet that player. And look, I did not want the Bills to draft the linebacker. It's Jahad Williams, is that the?
Campbell.
Campbell, sorry. Thank you. I think he looks like a perfect player for the Eagles.
I know.
Right? I mean, it just works. And I'll bet he would have been an excellent player no matter where he goes. I just didn't want the Bills. I didn't think the need made sense. And if he was so attracted to them, that would have really worried me. And, well, they obviously didn't do it. So, good. So, what are the Eagles thinking? Like, we just want to make sure Kansas City doesn't take him? Is he only waiting one more pick? And then you get him. So, is he want to just make sure? Like, we're this close to this. Sure, I'll give you, what did you say it was? Pick one, whatever.
164.
Yeah, like, okay, fine. Just want to make sure we get our guy here.
Kansas City picking 32nd the year after getting blown out in the Super Bowl is kind of funny. Because 32nd is, the Super Bowl winner. So, I mean, you look at the Chiefs over the years, you see a lot of 32, probably.
Yeah.
Although last year, 32 ended up being Carolina.
Maybe if we like years go by and we look back at this draft and be like, oh, the Chiefs must have won the Super Bowl that year, too.
That's what I'm saying.
You're right. You're going to be like, no.
Didn't they lose that game?
Yeah, by a lot.
Philadelphia 31, Kansas City. Didn't they lose that game?
And the Chiefs took a tackle that's going to miss probably a lot of the year is what it sounds like.
Oh, yeah?
Or at least some of the year. Yeah, there's an injury. That's why I think this is one of these guys, Simmons, Josh Simmons, if he were healthy, would have been a very highly rated tackle. But I think there's an injury concern I read that he should miss sometime this year.
It's just, hated. What does hated even mean? Hated would be not like something, as I mean it, that would sort of scuttle the Bills' plans, but it would be just like, this makes no sense. There weren't that many picks last night that made no sense. Fantasy was hot about Tyler Warren going to Indianapolis because most people are saying that they think he goes there to die, at least for this year because of the quarterback situation there. But it does make sense. They've been rotating many tight ends for years. Like Warren was a good value at 14. There weren't that many picks that were just really weird. I need weird. I need a little bit more weird from a draft.
I want to
maybe tonight.
I need to walk back this missing a chunk of the season. I read that earlier today about him, but now I'm looking at ESPN.com and Matt Miller says he should be cleared by August.
Oh,
so
good news.
He tore up. Yeah, thank God.
Good news for him.
Tore a patella tendon and missed most of this past season.
Josh Simmons.
Yep.
How about the Giants trading up for Dart with Russell Wilson, with Jameis Winston? What do they have Jameis Winston for now? What do you do here? Right. I mean, what do they need him for now?
What is it you would say you do here?
Could there ever be a trade where he's a free agent signing, but he gets traded before even going to camp?
Sure.
You think that's happened before?
Probably. It's more likely he would get released, I might guess. But
that looks bad.
Yeah, it sure does. Or maybe they just roll with the two of them. Because if they really don't want the kid to play, right? If they want to spend time in the lab with him and work on stuff, then I think you might want to buffer that with two veterans. Because if you only have the one and that guy gets hurt or is terrible, like in the case of Peterman Nathan in 2018, well, then the kid that we wanted to sit is going right in because there's nobody else here. And that, you know, that could happen. So maybe they'll keep both of those veterans around just to make sure they give the kid a redshirt year if that is indeed what they really want.
It's kind of weird now. I mean, it maybe was always destined to be the Giants thing because everybody thinks they need to win. I mean, something meaningful for the coach to stay on and the GM maybe also. So how do they do it? Russell Wilson, okay. Like signing him kind of means that. It shows that, right? Like, why would you sign him? Just do what more like the Browns might be doing, which is go lower and, you know, maybe even tank. So, no, they don't do that. Wilson is credible enough, I think. Like, you're going to try to win 8 games or whatever you might need, maybe more. And Dart is no part of that. Because you're kind of, this has always been the weird thing about their situation, why it's probably not great for the organization that the coach was retained. Because you've got your quarterback of the future here now, but you need to win this year. He does.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to play Jackson Dart? He could be, I doubt this happens, he could be so good that he just goes in. I mean, right away, and they win games that way. Your threshold, I have no idea what it would be. Your threshold of success is lower if Dart is the quarterback, because you would just not expect to win as much. So if Dable was able to pull off Dart playing and they win 6 games, but he looks pretty good, then maybe they keep going. I mean, it's terrible odds for a quarterback whose coach gets fired after 1 year. That's just awful for the player. That happened with Darnold. It's happened lots of times.
Right, because you've basically let Dable, I would think, have some influence on Shane, and together they make this pick. Like, this is their guy that they want to work with and try to build. And yeah, I mean, if you get canned right away, there's no telling. The new GM, the new coach, be like, oh, I hated Jackson Dart in college. I would have never picked him. I mean, who knows?
Right.
That's how these people are. This, you know, it's like they're different opinions about different players.
Justin Fields,
right.
Drafted, benched to start the season, goes in, team's a disaster. He gets to start the next year under new management, new offense, all of that. It's a big lift. I wonder if they had to make that trade. That one, we don't know either. The Giants, if they had to move up. I would guess maybe they did with the Browns and kind of low prices moving up. Teams like Cleveland having the early second-round picks. Wouldn't have been too expensive for them to get to the Bills pick, say, and pick him if that's who they liked. Adam Schefter says that is who they liked, Dart. Well, the plan, I guess, was for Max Hairston to speak at 5, and that has not happened yet. So we'll break here because that's what we do at 5:25.
This has been one of my favorite segment ever where we're killing time waiting for a guy to start talking.
Yeah, that can be
distracting, I would say. But I feel like we did a good job,
okay,
content-wise there.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today
with Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Much different than how you felt about Sal's performance earlier.
It's terrible.
You like this more.
Yes.
we, I guess, expect Hairston to speak at some point here. Second round of the NFL draft comes your way at 7. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, this is WGR.
All right, we're going to hustle right out to the stadium. The Bills' first-round pick from last night, Max Hairston, is talking with the media now.
I'm excited. What else have you done since you just really, you know, get a feel for everybody. You know, I got to give my family a tour around the facility. You know, I came here for my 30 visits, so I actually, you know, I led the tour. So that was exciting just to show them around my new home, man. So I'm ready, excited to get to work. Yeah.
What has their support meant to you, and I guess where is that close-knit relationship? How has that developed, and how do you use that to your advantage?
You know, their support really is what keeps me going. Like, they keep me level-headed, you know, never let me get too high or too low. And, you know, I always got my family through thick and thin. Like, if I have a bad game, if I have a good game, I know I can always rely on my family. And they're just always there for me. And that's how it's been my entire life. I love that, you know. Hey, it's a 5-hour drive, about an hour and a half flight, hour flight. So it's easy to get here. So I know, you know, I'm going to have my family here every game. But, you know, even if we was further away, I know my family would still make the trip.
What was it like for you just waking up, being a Buffalo?
Crap, I've not taken this hat off since I got it. Like, I'm stoked. Like, I'm so excited to start. So excited to be a part of this program, this organization, and I'm ready to get to work. Man, because, you know, we work so hard for this. And I know it, you know, it's hard to get to that point. And I just was so happy for those guys because I knew a lot of those guys from whether it was the combine, and I trained with a lot of them. So it's like we already built that relationship. So it was just genuine excitement. And just seeing them get that call, seeing their reactions, seeing the parents' reactions, that just made me happy. Like, I almost shed a tear for a couple of those guys. But, like, you know, just the fact that they got their name called, and that deserves to be celebrated. So I was always there to dap them up. You know, I had the best seat in the house, so I took advantage of that.
What was your exposure to scheme at all today, just in your meetings with coaches, and what were your initial thoughts and impressions?
You know, we got a chance to talk about, you know, my comfort with zone and man, and I just feel like I'm so versatile that I can work in this scheme because it's a mixture of both. And I feel like, you know, I'm a player that you can put me anywhere on the field, whether I'm in zone or whether I'm in man, whether I'm pressing or whether I'm off. And, you know, they trust me to go out there and make the plays that's, you know, if the opportunity presents itself.
How do you approach,
thank you.
How do you approach knowing that there's a spot
open,
that you'll be in that,
that competition?
You know, once you get
to practice, I just approach it with the same attitude that got me to this point, and that's just to put my head down and work. You know, I want to learn from because this group, this corners group, is they have a lot of experience and guys that's done this for years. So I would just want to be here, you know, be a sponge, learn from the guys, kind of follow their lead, and just go out there and compete.
What do you say about the confidence that all cornerbacks need and the short memories that all cornerbacks need? How do you develop that?
You know, just having short-term memory, but also just, you know, having swagger. Like, you know, when I feel good, I play good. Just having confidence and going out there and trusting that the man to the left of me is going to do his job, but the man to the right of me is going to do his job. So we can go out there and play 110%. Honestly, I just want to be able to, you know, do whatever the coaches tells me to do, whether that's go out there and play corner or go out there and be on special teams. I just want to be able to help and contribute to the team. And even if I'm not contributing on the field, just be a good teammate and always encourage the guys.
I'm a youth coach, so Little League team, and how instrumental was those youth coaches?
So my Little League team was called the West Bloomfield Panthers, and that's actually where I got the nickname Mad Max from. My coach, you know, he was real, and you know, I kind of like the hard coaching. That's what I had growing up, and I feel like that kind of gets you the mindset to, you know, you got that dog in you, and I feel like that also just comes from being from Michigan. Like, you just got that grit in us. I know that Josh Allen is the best quarterback in the NFL, and watching him against Detroit, you know, That dude was just, it looked like it was a video game the way he was out there, you know, making stuff happen out of nothing. And I'm just so excited to be a part of that and knowing that I can give Josh Allen the ball back. So I'm eager to get to work. We was actually on the phone last night. I got the FaceTime when I first got my name called. I got the FaceTime Ray Davis as well. So that was cool. Just a nice little intro to the team. So they had me hyped.
What was that like, you know, talking to Josh, knowing who he is and him, the meaningfulness of him reaching out to you?
Man, it meant a lot. And, you know, I actually had to tell Josh. I said, if I ever pick you up in practice, I'm keeping that ball. You know, it's not personal, but you're kind of just that guy. So, you know, being able to call him my teammate, you know, it's truly an honor, and I can't wait to go out there and win some games with him. It's something that I've practiced, but at Kentucky, we had our guy for that, my dog, Berrion Brown, and he was pretty good at that. So we didn't have to worry about that at Kentucky. But like I said, I'm going to do anything the coach asks me to do. And if I have to learn how to catch, you know, kick returns and all that stuff, I'm going to do it just for the team.
When's the last time you did it?
We practiced that going into the season. I just never did it in an actual game. Yeah. That meant a lot. Me and Donovan, we grew up together, and, you know, we told ourselves going into that season because we knew it was going to be, you know, it got postponed a bunch of times and COVID this and COVID that, but we was determined to finish that season if they allowed us to, and we did exactly that. You know, that was our senior year. That was our last chance, and my school's never won a first – they've never won a state championship. So to be the first ones to win a state championship at West Bloomfield High School, that's truly a big honor, and I had that picture in my suit jacket yesterday. Man, he was telling me about the Buffalo Wings, telling me about the hockey games, just telling me that, you know, it's great vibes out here. And I got out here for my 30 visits, so I got a chance to, you know, see it. And I'm here now, and I do definitely feel those vibes, and I'm excited to try some Buffalo Wings.
Reading your bio, you have a lot of family that are very good, high-level athletes, including, it says, Taiwan Jones, not the one that played here, another Taiwan Jones.
Yeah. Very competitive. And, you know, even speaking on Tawan, I wanted to be like him. So, you know, having a family member that got somewhere before me, it was just extra motivation. And he let me know that it was possible for me to do that as well.
Did you run track?
I did, but I ran a 100, 200, 4x1, 4x2. Every occasion I throw in the long jump in there. But, you know, COVID, man, ruined my junior year. It canceled the season. And then I enrolled early my senior year. But I got a chance to go all state my sophomore year in the 4x1 relay.
Next,
Jamile
Adai will be your cornerbacks coach. After getting to meet with him and talk with him, why do you believe he is the right next coach for you as you make the transition into the NFL?
That's my guy, man. And I honestly feel like he's real. Like, he's not going to sugarcoat nothing. He's going to keep it real, and that's all I ask for. And I feel like, you know, from the moment I talked to him at my formal at the combine to my 30 visit to even a Zoom to even just talking to him now, like, you know, I have the utmost faith in him, and I feel like he's going to lead me in the right direction. In writing and all that stuff, I don't mind Maxwell. It looks a little more professional. Yeah. Honestly, I chose that degree because it's so versatile. Like, I can go into coaching. I can help the community. You know, I can, you know, give back to not even just my home community, but anywhere. And, you know, that's really why I wanted to major in that, because I want to be able to help people. I want to be a resource for people. I want to motivate the youth, and I want to be able to just share the knowledge that was taught me. I want to share that down to the new generation.
Max, you mentioned Josh earlier, obviously, Ray as well. Is there anybody else on the team you're like, whoa, I can't believe, like, I'm teammates with that guy now?
Yes, Trey White, the corner that we just bought. I can't wait to learn. I can't wait to pick his brains, man. That's a vet, and I know he's going to teach me so much. I know that growing up, I used to watch him a lot. He was a pro bowler, you know, deal with a couple injuries, but he's still that guy. That's still someone that I know he can teach me a lot. And I feel like we have some similarities in our game, especially coming out in the draft. And that's someone I can't wait to meet him. Hey, I mean, you got to find something to knock somebody on, but I'm definitely somebody that wants to tackle. I want to get my nose dirty. It just comes down to being consistent in my technique and really following what the coach has taught me with, you know, short stride and near knee to his hip and just running through the guy.
What's your biggest attribute off?
Off the field. My personality, man. Honestly, like... And then, two, I got my clothing brand, so I'm real big on fashion, man. So I like to get fly. You know, you look good, you feel good, you play good type of deal.
How did you start and when did you start your clothing?
So I actually started my clothing line a couple days ago, and it's been fun. Like, just seeing other people wear my clothes, like, that's truly an honor. You know, seeing people swag my clothes, you know, get fly with my clothes, like, that's nice. I have, like, I'm big on shoes, big on clothes. Like, shoot, my house in Kentucky, I had to have two rooms just to fit all my clothes and shoes in there. So, hey, you know, I get busy.
Anything inside the jacket today?
Oh, no. This one, I just had to, you know, put the alumni sticker on there. I graduated last December, so, yeah.
Now, you told Ray Davis you was moving in. I said
I might have to use some of your room. Now you might got to share some space now, but I for sure told Ray I'm moving in.
Who do you have here family-wise?
My entire family that was with me yesterday at the draft.
Matt, getting to take your family around the facility, wearing the hat, being here, I would imagine it's all starting to sink in. Just what does this moment mean?
Man, this moment is everything. This moment is truly a dream come true. Like I said, I bring my family with me because I truly wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. And to be able to give them the master tour today that I got on my 30 visit, like, that meant a lot. I kind of surprised myself. Like, okay, you memorized the facility pretty good, nah. So, happy I could do that.
What do you know about
Bills
Mafia?
I know that Bills Mafia has the best fan base in the NFL. Hey, we bring Deion here. Ooh, I'm a for sure get that ball back then because he's gonna get in the quarterback phase. Thank you.
Maxwell Hairston, kind of a crowd pleaser. He seems like a real pleasure.
That's how that sounded. Yeah. I'm curious who he was referring to there. It must be a teammate that is eligible for the draft.
Deion.
I'm looking through the edge guys to find Deion Walker. Thank you, Zach.
All right. He's round two, day two.
Maybe further down the board than that. Yeah.
That would be another Kentucky player that would make 10.
I don't see him listed on my page of guys. I'll put it that way.
10 by the Bills all time. Hairston is number 9. From Kentucky, which he graduated from, he said, in December. He's 21. This is where we're at. He grew up watching Trey White. This is where we're at.
Right.
Let's take a timeout. Night 2 of the NFL draft starts at 7 here on WGR. As we return, it's a habit, just refreshing Twitter. Oh, 4 new posts. Click. Top one in front of me right now is...
Ad.
Second one will be ad.
Ad.
Is Warren Sharp commenting on a Pat McAfee clip. I do not follow Pat McAfee, but he had Roger Goodell on, and there's a video here. Goodell apparently says he's considering 7 minutes between picks next year, not 10 in the first round.
I thought last night moved pretty swiftly. It felt like a lot of the time, in fact, the production of the show was holding, like, picks were in and they're doing something else. Or
sure.
They're in a, but I thought it moved. I mean, the Bills picked about 20 minutes earlier than I think I estimated. 20 minutes earlier than pick 30 had been the last few years.
Okay.
I think. So, you know, that's not a lot, but it just felt like it was moving.
Okay. The reason I bring it up is this clip. There's a person holding a sign up. It's like, think College Game Day, people in the background.
Yeah.
And the person's sign says, "We never went to the moon." It, Is that meant to be funny? Maybe not. It's funny. Yeah. We never went to the moon. I'm going to go to the draft and make a sign, and that's the sign.
Stand look behind for the Pat McAfee show.
Yeah, with Goodell on. Look for that sign tonight. We never went to the moon. Who's we? Glenn is with us. Hello.
Yes, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
I can't say enough how elated I am with the selection. Great ball skills, the speed, how he makes up lost coverage on receivers. And as you just heard, that this guy's willing whatever it takes to get on the field. But I have a suggestion on who to select tonight.
Okay.
Alfred Collins, mm-hmm. defensive tackle, Texas. Huge guy, 6'6", over 330. When I watched this guy play, who did he remind me of? Chris Jones.
I mean, that's a lofty comparison. But that his size alone absolutely got my attention too. When I started thinking about today and getting ready for the show and thinking about what they might do tonight, I think if he had the potential to be someone who could rush the passer like Chris Jones does, we're not talking about him as a possibility at 56 or 62 or even later, because he'd have been gone. Maybe even earlier than Mason Graham. So I'm not sure bodies, like size wise, sure, that's maybe a match, although Jones is not a big, heavy guy, really. He's big, but he's, this guy looks more like just like a kind of a fat guy. But I'm all for it. in saying that. I mean, yes. I think that was always kind of the pivot to me. If you couldn't get the athlete that could penetrate, that could threaten the pocket and do all that. If Kenneth Grant, for instance, Harmon's another example of someone who potentially can do that, maybe even more so than Grant at this point in their development. You can't get that guy, then you probably shouldn't draft a defensive tackle at 30. You should probably wait and get someone like, well, big ol' Alfred Collins. Like, I'm all for it. I don't know where they need to pick him exactly, but if I see them and his name attached at some point tonight, I'm going to go, all right, they got the big guy.
I love an Alfred. I'm ready for there to be an Alfred on the Bills.
Everybody loves an Alfred.
Everybody loves an Alfred. I love the name Maxwell Hairston. That's a great name.
Yeah.
He was funny when he was asked about his first name. He said something like, you know, Maxwell looks good in print, so do what you want. But he likes to be called Max.
Right.
We should ask Sal what he thinks of the name Max later.
I hate it.
This mock draft I'm looking at puts good Alfred Collins at pick 70. So you might be able to get him if you want him.
All right. I'm all for it.
Will they pick at 56 and 62 only? I'm guessing no. I think the odds are probably good that they will make some move. You know, these Bills are not just going to watch the third round.
What do they have to do to get in? I mean, obviously they could drop out of the second round, drop one of those picks,
yes,
and get paid to, yes, get into the third. They don't have – well, do they have enough stuff from Saturday that someone would buy getting into the middle of the third round?
All right. So they have two fours.
Be consistent.
Draft Tech value chart, 116 total points in those two picks. 116 is equivalent to pick 96, which would be normally be the end of the third round, but there are compensatory picks, six of them, after that. So it would be the Eagles pick in round three. That's what you would get for your two fours. That's the highest you can go.
Right.
Unless you're getting into the fifth round, and now it just looks like it looks like clutter. Now,
right,
you're just piling picks together to try to do what?
Right.
You know, you add their third highest pick on Saturday, pick 169. Now your total is 140, and that is pick 90. So my three best Saturday picks get me only to pick 90.
And then I'm waiting on Saturday to pick, when is their second fifth round pick?
170. So they'd pick 90 and one. Like, this is not what it's going to be.
Yeah, there's no way they're doing that.
No way they're doing
that. They are not going to take that many picks off of this draft. I just don't. I mean, anything could happen, but that would really stun me.
What
if
I like
they were to do that.
What I like, if somebody is hot late second, you could get a nice deal would be an early to mid third and a third next year. That would be smart. Mm-hmm. Smart pool, I think. Is that an expression? Smart pool?
I don't know about smart
pool.
I kind of
like it. I don't think I've ever heard it.
Dirty pool is all you ever hear. Dirty pool. That's right. Shooting dirty pool.
That is dirty pool.
Yeah.
I have a dirty pool. Smart pool.
Yeah, I don't know. Smart pool. Good pool.
I don't know. Needs work.
Yeah.
Needs work.
Yeah.
Which Bills game became more interesting last night by who one of their opponents drafted? 803-0550. We'll look again for your takes on last night and tonight, just more, little more than an hour away from starting up round two. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.